I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
Hello, friend. I'm John Carter in Brisbane, Australia, the home of the future Olympic Games. After Los Angeles, of course. So glad to be here, visiting here with my family. It's just a beautiful city. But I'm here today to tell you the story of the three prodigals. Not the one prodigal, but the three prodigals. Stay tuned to the Carter Report.
We believe in the public proclamation of all the mighty truths of God's saving and transforming word. Around the world, in Russia, Ukraine, India, Africa, the Philippines, Australia, America, and the Isles of the Sea, millions have been powerfully touched by the Spirit of God as the true gospel has been proclaimed. Please be a part of the Carter Report team by praying, giving, and when God calls, by going. Please write today to P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358, or to P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, NSW, 2260, Australia. Your gift will light a candle in a dark place. Your gift will bring the gospel of Christ to a lost soul. Please write today.
You know, when you think of a prodigal, you don't usually think of a nice sort of person, do you? Now, the topic today is not the prodigal, but the three prodigals. I'm John Carter. This is the Carter Report. And we're delighted to have you with us today. Let me talk to you about the three prodigals. This is going to bless you. You're going to feel so good after hearing about the three prodigals. You're going to feel so good. You're going to be so happy. Now, let me tell you about the word prodigal. It means wasteful. Well, that means I've got a few prodigal friends. Wasteful. Extravagant. Well, I sort of like extravagant friends, don't you? When somebody puts on a great dinner and they say, we want you to come, and you go along, and it's extravagant. Well, you know, I could do with a little bit of a meal at present. Wasteful, extravagant, generous. Nobody is nicer than a generous person. Nobody is nastier than a person that they call in Australia a mean person. That means he's stingy. You know what stingy means? He's tight. He's a person who still got the first dollar he ever earned. He's got it hung up over the mantelpiece, whatever that is. But anyhow, you're probably getting my drift. So a prodigal is wasteful, extravagant, generous, lavish, bountiful, over and beyond. So today we're not going to talk about the prodigal. Well, no, we are going to talk about the prodigal. But the prodigal is going to be one of three prodigals. And today, this is, wait for this, this is going to be a revelation of the generous, extravagant love of God. How does that sound to you? So if you got your Bible there, which I have, you know, I'm just an old Bible preacher because I believe it. I believe the power is in the Bible, and I believe the church goes ahead and conquers when it goes ahead preaching the Bible. But when it becomes a church just full of tradition and lots of other stuff and lots of nonsense, the church shrivels up and dies. So I believe in the power of the Word of God. Are you with me out there? Luke chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2. Now, the tax collectors. Well, you know, they weren't such bad guys. Jesus called them, they were the sinners. But they are after your money, so, you know, nothing changed. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. The sinners liked Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus liked the sinners. So they gathered around to hear him. But, here's this nasty little word, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, mutter. They muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was not a very good mutter, but you get what I'm talking about. So these sinners, the people that good people sort of despised, the people who never went to church even after they died, the people who were on the edge of society. Well, actually, they were in the very middle of society. These were the people who gathered around to see Jesus. But there were some people who didn't like this, and they were the Pharisees. And the Pharisees muttered, this man receives sinners and goes to eat with them. And Jesus said, you're dead right. He said to the religious, these superficial, supercilious pretenders, humbugs, he said, you're dead right. This man, the Son of God, does receive sinners because the gospel says Jesus loves sinners. Jesus, my friend, loves you. And Jesus loves me because God is a kind, nice person. Now let's talk about these Pharisees. The word Pharisee means the separated ones. They separated themselves from the rest of the people because they didn't want to be, contaminated by all the odors and the bad language, which none of us should like. But they were the most pious of the most pious. They were the overly religious ones. Where did they come from? Well, back in the 2nd century BC, there was a nasty man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. He invaded Israel and attacked Jerusalem. In fact, he went into the temple and he desecrated the temple. And some say he offered up a pig in the temple. Not a very nice person. He was a wicked, 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 wicked man. No doubt about it. Now, the Pharisees saw all of this. Well, they weren't Pharisees at that time. But there were a group of people there who said, we got ourselves into trouble because we broke the law of God. The law of the Bible says in the Old Testament that if you keep the law of God, you're going to be blessed. Is that true? Yes, it is true. But they sort of got it twisted a little bit. Human beings have got a way of twisting the gospel and twisting the truth about the law. And they thought to themselves, if you want to get saved, you've got to keep the law of God so perfectly all the time, and if you do this, then God is going to bless you. Were they right? Well, they were right, and some things God does bless us if we keep the law of God. But we're not saved by keeping the law of God. We keep the law of God because we are saved. Do you get it? The Pharisees never got it. So the Pharisees were punctilious in observing every little bit of the law of God. They paid tithe, Jesus said, on everything. So they went over and beyond. You see, they were rather extravagant. They went over and beyond. They became a type of religious person who was a prodigal. They had hundreds of Sabbath laws. Did they get them out of the Bible? Where did they get them from? They got them out of their heads. They got them through human reason. They said, if we do this, and if we do this, and if we do cock-a-doodle-doo, we will be saved by all the doing that we do. So the Pharisees were big on doing, but not big on loving. That was the problem. One great Pharisee was so concerned about his soul's salvation that he said, don't bury me in black. They said, why don't you want to be buried in black, Rabbi? He said, because I may wake up with the righteous and they're dressed in white and I'm going to be embarrassed. He said, bury me in a... don't bury me in white. They said, why not, Rabbi? Well, he said, I may wake up with the damned and I'm there in white. I'll be embarrassed. He said, bury me in a neutral colour. So they had a neutral theology that produced a type of supercilious person who was always looking down his long nose at people they didn't like. They were the super, super duper religious people. They had a saying, if Israel keeps the law perfectly for one day, Messiah will come, the kingdom of God will come, and we will rule the world. There are some people sort of think that today, not too many, fortunately. If you come over here to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, dear hearts and gentle people, I'm looking for the text. You've got to give me a little bit of time and be patient with me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus says, but I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Ugh. Jesus said, you got to be better than the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisee was the most righteous person. They're at church on the Sabbath. There he was, keeping hundreds of different Sabbath laws. He was the most righteous person. Was he insincere? No, he was certainly super sincere. But Jesus said, you got to do better than that. How can you do better than that? Well, my friend, you do better than that when you accept Jesus. When you accept Jesus, he enfolds you in his love and he covers you with a blanket, a garment of his righteousness. You can do better than that, Jesus said. But the Pharisees were not insincere, but they were people who persecuted Jesus and they persecuted the disciples. And they said, when Jesus was mixing with the sinners, this man receives sinners and goes to eat with them. And they were so offended by Jesus that they decided in the end that they would put him on a cross. And so the most religious people the world has ever seen ended up putting the Son of God on the cross. What does that tell you? It tells you that a self-righteous religion is not the religion that comes from God. They were prodigals. Prodigals? Yes, prodigals in their self-righteousness. Prodigals. Prodigals in their self-righteousness. And legalism, complete prodigals, always looking down on people and persecuting people. And they are some of the stars of this sermon. And they said, this man receives sinners. Jesus said, you're absolutely correct. I agree with you. I do receive sinners. And then Jesus told three stories to show that the Pharisees in this point were right. And the first story is about a lost sheep. Now, Luke 15, verses 3 and onwards, and I'm going to read it to you, and I'd like you to listen. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one until the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you there that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, who is this lost sheep? The lost sheep is the sinner, you or me, the lost person who wanders away from God. Does he know he's lost? Yes, he does. And who is the shepherd who goes looking for him? The shepherd is Jesus. And when Jesus finds the lost sheep, the lost sinner, what does he do? Does he kick it? No, he doesn't kick it. He hugs it and kisses it. He doesn't kick it, he kisses it. So here you've got the first story of how God treats sinners. That's how God treats you, and that's how God treats me. God is far better than we ever dreamed possible. Now, Luke 15, verses 8 and onwards. Now we come to the second story. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the kingdom of God, in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents. What is the difference between this lost coin and the lost sheep? Well, it's very simple. The lost sheep knows it is lost. You may know that you're lost. But what about the lost coin? A coin doesn't know anything. The lost coin doesn't know it's lost and is lost in a house. And the woman goes looking for it. The woman represents the church. The lost coin is a poor person who was lost in the church. Probably not the coin's fault. How can a coin be blamed because the coin gets lost? The coin is lost not because of its fault, but because of somebody else's fault. But the woman, representing the kingdom of God, searches diligently until she finds the coin. And then what does she do? She throws a party. Jesus is always talking about parties because the party represents the kingdom of God and the goodness of God. Hey, what an amazing God we're talking about today. But now we come to the third story. And the third story introduces the first prodigal. Are you still listening to me? Because it gets even more interesting as we go along today. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and onwards. Jesus was the greatest of all storytellers. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.'" Hey, what a waste this guy is. He wants his inheritance before the old man dies. I mean, that's a bit over and beyond, isn't it? "Father, give me. He's the give me person. So Mr. Give Me says, "Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. It always happens. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. This is a Jewish boy. Now he's got to go and feed pigs. I mean, this is pretty bad. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his sense, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Now here is the first prodigal we're going to talk about today. There are three prodigals. Now here is the first prodigal. This boy who was extravagant in his waste, a prodigal in his sin, who goes over and beyond the normal thing. He tries to get his inheritance from the old man while the old man is still alive. He doesn't wait until after the funeral, but he says, give me, give me, give me, give me. And so the father, who is gracious, gives the boy his share of the inheritance. And the boy leaves home and goes into a far country. That's not a good place. He goes into a far country. And there he wastes it's still his father's money. Did you notice this? He wastes his father's money in riotous living. Later on, his brother said he wasted the money on harlots and prostitutes. Of that, we're not absolutely certain, because it could be that the older brother was just telling lies. But one thing is certain, he wastes all of his money. He goes away dressed, as the English used to say, dressed like a dandy. He's a very fine fellow with a nice hat and a feather in his cap. And he has beautiful clothes and beautiful shoes. And he goes into the far country and he makes many, many friends. You know why he makes many, many friends? Because he's got money. If you've got lots of money, it won't be hard for you to lose it, because people will gather around you, not because they really like you, but because they like the smell of your money. That is how it is, my friend. This is a great lesson that you and I should learn. Fool and his money are soon parted. And this young man is a prodigal and he is a fool. Whom does he represent? He represents a lost world. He represents a lost world that has left the Father's house. He represents all of us who've turned our back on God and we've gone away. There may be today I'm talking to somebody who's turned his back on God and he's gone away. I would like to tell you something, if you will listen to me, please, sir or madam. When you get away from the Father's house, it's not so good. The Bible calls it a far country. It's a long way from the Father's banquet hall. It's a long way from your warm bed. It's a long way from your friends. It's a long way from your mother. It's a long way from comfort. It's a long way from God. And so the far country is not so good after all. We live in a time of this world when so many people have run away from the Father's house, and we teach this nonsense in the schools and the colleges that we came from nowhere. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we are. We don't know where we are going. And we teach this stuff, and little children are taught this stuff, and they end up becoming, on many occasions, criminals. And the parents say, whatever went wrong with my boys and my girls, could it be that they were taught stuff that drove them away from the Father's house? I'm talking about God. Because when you get away from the Father's house, it's not moonlight and roses, it's not beauty, it's not glory, it's not sweetness, it's not a banquet, it's loneliness, and it's pain, and it's suffering. And this boy is so reduced by his foolishness and his prodigal, extravagant living that he's got nothing left and no friends. And they're all alone. He sells himself out to a man. He becomes a virtual slave, and the man sends him out into the field to feed his pigs. Here you've got a Jewish boy who hates pigs having to feed the pigs. And he gets so hungry, he wants to eat some of the pig food. So often, when you get away from God, you're eating pig food. But you don't know it. You know why? Because you've lost all sensibilities. You don't know what you're doing. So here is a boy in a far country, and he's run away from God. He's lost all his friends. He's lost all of his money. How low can a boy get? Not much lower than the pig pen. But the Bible tells us something about this prodigal, foolish boy. It says he comes to himself. What does that mean? It means the Spirit of God speaks to him. You can never get so far away from God that there's no hope. And you may feel a long way from God, but God's not a long way from you. And the boy decides to go home to his father. Now, we're going to have a little break, and then I'm going to be back, and we're going to tell you about the other two prodigals and what happens to the boy when he comes home.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.